And welcome to Vision Extra, coming to you from Vision Australia Radio. Peter Greco with you, and with us is Gough from a company called Beer Nut Productions. Gough, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me on, Peter. I appreciate it.
Now, you've got to tell us, first of all, how did you come up with the name for your production company?
Well, I figured people could drink a beer, eat some nuts, and enjoy my films. You know, I thought it'd be the perfect way to enjoy an evening. So, yeah, Beer Nut Productions is where people can go and get their fill of my brand of nonsense.
Now, well, you've been going for quite some time. I mean, we've only just found out about you, but you've been around for a while.
That's right. Yeah, Beer Nut Productions started back in 2006, and we released our very first feature film in 2010. So it was a bit of a while to get it all up and happening and moving, but we got there, and now we've done 14 films in total. So 13 short films and the one feature film that we've done. So yeah, we've gone from strength to strength. Plus, there are also audio downloads. There's 7 audio downloads, which are like little sketches for people to enjoy, and also 4 books as well. So there's quite a bit of entertainment, hopefully, to be had.
Now, you've got a bit of a genetic connection with entertainment, haven't you?
Yes, indeed. Yes, my father is also in the entertainment business as well. Yes, indeed.
Now, you have a vision impairment. Tell us a bit about that. What is it, and how good or bad is it, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yes, when I was about 12 weeks old, I had a hemorrhagic stroke, and that was brought about by the whooping cough immunisation. So, basically, a hemorrhagic stroke, for those who don't know, is a bleed on the brain. So it's sort of a cross between a stroke and a brain hemorrhage. And so that's what happened to me as a result of the whooping cough jab. And I believe you're about 12 weeks old when you get that immunization shot. So obviously in hospital and whatnot for a little bit of time. But the lasting effect of that obviously was I lost quite a bit of my sight. So I can't see out of my right eye, and I have very limited vision in my left eye. So that, of course, that makes me legally blind.
So there's obviously a lot of controversy about vaccinations and whether people should have them, particularly youngsters, you know, no jab, no pay, that sort of stuff. So you were one of those people that did have a bad reaction to it.
Well, yes, indeed. But I just want to say that I don't have any bad feelings towards the immunisation. I think what happened to me was bad luck and some bad parenting in that I wasn't given treatment immediately when I should have been. So I think it's more bad luck and bad parenting. So if I had children, I would have them immunized, but of course it's a person's own choice. That's just my own personal opinion. It's everybody's free to obviously make their own decision on that.
So as we mentioned, your dad's got a connection with entertainment. So was it a natural progression for you to follow on?
Well, yes and no. I mean, my father's a comedian, but I am a comedy nerd. There's no doubt about that. And as a young kid, you know, I was always watching, you know, tapes of old comedians and stuff like that. So while, you know, while other kids were out riding their bikes and things that I couldn't really do, I was listening to old recordings of Monty Python and Peter Cook and Dudley Moore and people like that. So I did have that, was a very big influence, and probably obviously did steer me into this direction that I've gone, absolutely. But there's no doubt. But I mean, I make films and audio downloads and write and produce and direct. Well, he's just a stand-up comedian, so it's quite different in that regard. So yeah.
Now we can obviously understand a person who's blind or has low vision doing audio productions. What about film side? That must present some challenges for you.
Absolutely, yes indeed. But look, it's all about having a good crew around me who I can trust. So it did take me a while to find the right people because, you know, I need to be able to communicate my ideas nice and clearly to, you know, the cinematographer who's filming, for example. I need to be able to tell him exactly how I want my shot, and then I have to trust that he is actually going to do that shot, you know. And so it did take me a while to find the right sort of person who I can communicate with really well and who understands what I want to do and who gets my vision. And then once I found those people, I've kept them as my team around me. And yeah, so it's all about communication. And I think for people with a vision impairment, anybody out there who's listening, they would understand, you know, it's all about being able to really communicate clearly to people with what you need, and no different to work, you know. So I say to him, you know, I want a medium shot going into a wide shot of these two people talking, and so he makes sure that happens for me. So when we get into the editing booth, I edit them by audio. So I'll tell him where I want my cut. So, you know, a sentence will finish, I'll say, cut there, now cut to the two shot or cut to the single shot, and he'll make that happen for me.
So you have enough sight to appreciate what a good film looks like?
Well, I hope so. But when we were in the editing booth, he's got a nice big screen that he uses for his editing. And when I get nice and close to that, you know, sort of nose to screen kind of thing, I can see what's going on pretty clear, I reckon. So I've got a fairly good idea what's going on. But obviously by then it's too late to reshoot anything because we're only very small, so we don't have the money to go out there and reshoot something if something's not perfect. So that's where I say a lot of trust comes in to make sure that he films what I want, because once we're editing, it's too late then to go back and redo anything.
So that's for people who are doing the shooting. What about those that are actually in the film themselves? I'm thinking about things like facial expressions, etc.
Yeah, well, that's where Simon, my right-hand man, comes into it. So I tell the actors, look, I write the script, so I know how I want my lines delivered. I'm very clear on that. So I tell the actors very clearly how I need them to deliver my lines and what sort of facial expressions I want from them. And then after we shoot it, if I'm happy with how it sounds, I'll say to Simon, look, did the actors give me good faith? And he says, yep, they gave you good faith. And so we move on. So again, it just comes down to a lot of trust. And also my actors need to understand, you know, my vision impairment. And I explain to them, you know, this is the situation. And then hopefully they're cool with everything. And I've never really had too much of a problem with any of the actors. They get it. And again, it's all about communicating to them what exactly I need from them. And when you write the script yourself, I'm very clear on how I want my work to finish up.
Where do you get your inspirations for writing?
Look, all over the place. The number one thing, we just finished a bunch of mockumentaries. So we've done one on the war on drugs and one on the environment and that sort of stuff. So taking a subject and ripping it to bits, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And the thing I really like to do is show the hypocrisy of people. You know, people out there that pretend to be one thing, but they're actually another. You know, they might say one thing, but they do another. That kind of attitude really gets on my nerves, you know. So I really enjoy sort of showing the hypocrisy of celebrities and things like that, you know. And, you know, just people that want to portray one image, but behind closed doors, there's something altogether different. So that sort of gets on my goat a little bit. So that's one thing that we've really targeted in the last couple of films that we've done.
Tell us about your first film. How big a thrill was that and how challenging was it?
Yeah, well, the first one I did was the documentary called I Will Not Go Quietly, which is a 90-minute feature, and it's all about disability and mental health. And so I shot that, edited it, produced it, directed it, did all of it myself. So I had no help for that one at all. And so that was obviously very challenging. The shooting of it was obviously the part that was the most challenging for me because, I mean, I can see through the viewfinder a little bit, but not fantastic. So, I mean, the shots aren't brilliantly framed or anything like that. But I figured it sort of proves my point that I was trying to make in that, you know, look, I can do this. You know, I can make this film. I can make it all happen, which sort of proves my point that people with disabilities, you know, should be included, and inclusion is important, and, you know, that we can do exactly what we want to do, whatever that might be in life, you know?
And what about technology, Gough? Has that changed much in the 12 or so years that you've been going?
Yeah, absolutely. I was having this conversation with Simon the other day, and I said to him, look, with technology has allowed me to do what I do. I mean, if it wasn't for the advancement in technology in just the last 10 years. I mean, how I run my business is through computer downloads. The people go onto beernutsproductions.com and they download my work directly through the website. I mean, 10 years ago, you weren't really able to do that. You weren't able to put a big, massive film up on a website and have people buy it and download it and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, even the way I run my business, you couldn't have done 10 years ago. And as for the technology in regards to film, there's fantastic products now, that like software products for the computer for when we're editing. That, I mean, you can do all kinds of amazing things. It's funny, actually. I've learned that it's never been cheaper and easier to make a film project, but on the flip side, it's never been more difficult to get it out into the public space because you get public to see your work. So it's because everybody, you know, it's such a huge media now. So, yeah, it's kind of funny that way.
You mean there's a lot of competition?
Absolutely, absolutely. So it is kind of a catch-22. It's never been easier to do it, and it's never been harder to get people to see it, you know? So it's kind of funny that way.
Yeah, I guess everyone potentially could be a filmmaker, and as you say, everyone can be putting stuff up on the internet, and it's just a matter of whether there's enough people out there to be watching what you're putting up there.
Absolutely. So that's why it's so important that you make your work as good as you can make it. I mean, because quality will always shine through.
Would you work for someone as well? I mean, if someone came to you with an idea, would you shoot a film for them or shoot some stuff for them?
Well, of course. I mean, I can't see why not. I mean, we only, being us productions, we only fund our own work. So, I mean, that would depend on a bunch of different things because, I mean, it does... there is obviously funding involved, but what we do is every sale we get goes straight through into the production account, and that's how we fund our next project, is through the sales of the previous project. So it's kind of like the circle of life for us, you know? So that's kind of our business model. So the more downloads we get, the more projects we can make and the more entertainment we can give you guys out there. So that's why, obviously, I encourage everyone to jump on the beernutsproductions.com and have a look at what we do and hopefully download something and get entertained by what we do.
So the website is, as you've said before, beernutsproduction.com. So people can go to that website and have a bit of a look around and download some stuff for nothing as well, I think, aren't they?
Absolutely. There are some free downloads there as well. Absolutely. So, yeah.
All right, give us that website again. Gough, it's been really great talking to you, and hopefully we can catch up with you again in the future. Are you working on any particular project at the moment?
Yeah, we've got, like I say, a couple of mockumentaries that we've just released. So the War on Drugs is the one that we're really talking about at the moment, and so that shows pretty much the nonsense that is the War on Drugs. So we look at it from the politician side, the police, from the drug dealers and the drug users, and of course the media and how they report on it. So that goes for about 25 minutes, and people are really, really enjoying that one, which is really fantastic. So yeah, if you go on to beernutsproductions.com, you can download that and hopefully get a good laugh.
Gough, it's been great talking to you. As I said, congratulations on what you've done so far, and hopefully we can speak to you again in the future.
Anytime. Thank you, Peter, for your time. I really appreciate it.
That's Gough. He's the founder, the director for beernutsproductions.com. Very interesting website. A young man with a vision impairment doing things in the area of filmmaking. Good on him. That is it for the program. If you've missed some of it, maybe you'd like to hear it again, you can go to our website, which of course is varadio.org/podcasts, and then look for the program Vision Extra. That's the name of this program, which we'll be back on your radio station at the same time next week.